I don't know about you, but I do not like crying out for help. It's because it's a sign of weakness. At least that's how I see it. That's how I was brought up too. I don't like being seen as weak or experiencing myself as weak, so I don't like crying out for help. It would have to really hurt bad for me to cry out. I've had a few medical tests over the years. There I cried out with words that I cannot repeat in church. But beyond that, not very often. In fact, I don't like asking for help, period. If I need help, that means I'm needy, and if I'm needy, that means I'm weak. And I'd rather try to get through on my own than to declare myself to anyone else that I'm weak. Now, if people want to help me on their own initiative, that's great. It's wonderful when people offer to help, because then I don't have to reveal my weakness or helplessness to them. And I know I'm not the only one like this. Is there anyone else that kind of a little bit like that at all here today? In fact, I know there's lots of people like me out there in the world. People who would do anything to avoid being perceived or understood as weak or appearing weaker. People who would do their absolute best to get by on their own effort. Is there something in your life today that disturbs you, that causes you to cry out? If there is, it is almost certainly something you cannot handle yourself. But what would it be, do you suppose? I had a friend of mine who would yell at the TV when the news was on and there was some news report that was coming through and he didn't like it. He would yell at the TV in anger or frustration. He would cry out at the TV set as, it was something that he obviously couldn't handle in the moment. He had disagreed with, and yet he was powerless to bring effect upon. Something had power in his life that he had no control over that frustrated him. I've had a few of those moments over the last month in watching the news out of Ukraine. Not yelling at the TV, perhaps, but crying out to Putin to stop the nonsense, the craziness, the madness. That doesn't happen often for me. What about for you? Have you had something like that happen in your life lately where you've cried out in protest? Something's just come out of you. That same friend of mine would sometimes yell at the TV when he was watching a Blue Jays game, when the manager would make some boneheaded move that he didn't like, and he would protest it by yelling at the TV. Or when one of the players would make a bad play, he'd yell at the TV in frustration because I guess he had no power to affect what was happening in the game. Is there something in your life today that not only disturbs you, but makes you a disturbance to others? Because listening to my friend yell at the TV set was not something that I actually enjoyed. I didn't enjoy watching Blue Jays games with him because it was frustrating to listen to him yelling at the TV set. There's something that not only disturbs you, but makes you a disturbance to others. If so, it's almost a guarantee that it's something that you cannot handle yourself. It might even turn you into a nuisance to others. A pain in the neck at times to other people. The story of Bartimaeus is actually the last healing story in the Gospel of Mark. It marks the moment when Jesus makes his final turn on his earthly journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. From here on in the story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is moving on a different plane, it seems. The forces are all conspiring against him. The forces that have been complaining against him, crying out against him, begin to take shape against him. See, Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. The time of the Passover celebration in Jerusalem is starting to come near. Passover celebrates the last of the 10 plagues that Moses brought upon Egypt, that the Lord brought through the hands and words of Moses upon Egypt. Passover celebrates the last of the 10 plagues when Israel escaped the bonds of death. See, the story of Passover is about God hearing the cries of the people of Israel who are held in slavery. Finally, God hears the cries and comes to the rescue, but it's not a pretty story. For the Pharaoh of Egypt will not yield to the commands of Moses. The 9 plagues come and Pharaoh will not let Israel go. So horrible a plague, the worst of the 10, then finally comes upon Egypt. That 10th plague slays all the firstborn of all creatures of Egypt. The land of Egypt cries out in grief during the night. Crying out is always a signal that we are dealing with something that we cannot handle ourselves. Jesus and his disciples are walking with a large crowd through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. It was always a good idea to travel in a large group when you were going from Jericho to Jerusalem. The road between the two cities was notorious for having bandits on the side waiting to get you. It was common practice for people to get robbed, even larger groups. So you wanted to go in as large a group as you could to be as safe as you possibly could. And when you're traveling to Jerusalem, better to be in a large throng of pilgrims in order to stay safe. And as they're moving through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, it says that there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus on the side of the road. And he discovers that there is one named Jesus of Nazareth in the crowd, and he cries out to him. Now, I imagine that Bartimaeus wasn't the only beggar on the side of the road that day in Jericho. There were probably many beggars out there on the side trying to get some kind of support from the crowd. There are many beggars trying to take advantage of this moment when a large throng of people was passing through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem. There are probably many beggars crying out to the passerbyers for some kind of assistance or another. I remember years ago talking with someone who had spent a time in their life begging on the street for assistance. Their life had become difficult, and they didn't have many avenues to follow. They'd come to a place of great personal weakness, so they did what they had to do to survive, and they started begging on the streets of Toronto. One of the things that struck my mind as they were speaking to me was that begging is a numbers game. That's what they told me. Successful begging is a numbers game. Like many activities in life, it's a numbers game. That means getting a good location is key to success in begging in life. And in that sense, it's not much different from other enterprises. It's location, location, location. Which is why there is considerable conflict at times in the begging community of where people can stand or sit, because location matters in that world just like in many others. And we might not see it, we might be unaware of it, but there is actually, in cities like Toronto, in certain locations, there's a hierarchy in the begging community. People know where they belong in the hierarchy. They know where they are allowed to sit, or they learn it very quickly where they're allowed to be and where they're not allowed to be, where they're allowed to place themselves and where they're not allowed to go. Which is why it's interesting on where Bartimaeus is located along the road when the pilgrims come through Jericho. Think about this. He's on the far side of the city. He's on the side of the city when the crowd is leaving Jericho. One would have presumed that the best location for begging would be on the near side as the crowd is coming in to the city. By the time the crowd gets to the far side of Jericho, they're done with beggars. Their natural generosity has been spent. By the time they get to Bartimaeus, well, it's too late for him. And that means Bartimaeus occupies a low place within the hierarchy of begging. Among the weak, he is the weakest. He's been displaced to the very edges of the community. If begging is already a marginalized activity, then he is on the very far fringes of it where life is most hard. It seems that Bartimaeus is actually likely not to have gotten much from this golden opportunity. With the crowd going through on the way to Jerusalem, this golden opportunity for support is disappearing as the crowd flows by him, because I'm sure that begging has a seasonal cycle to it. In ancient Israel and in modern Canada. See, Canadians are most generous at Christmas time, and in ancient Israel, the time of Passover would have likely been a time of expanded generosity between people. And here he is missing out. He can't cash in when it's most needed. Why is Bartimaeus so weak at this time? Why is he the weakest of the weak? And part of it might be the nature of his disability. He's blind. I'm sure some disabilities are more debilitating than others, although I don't know how to rank them myself. I'm not exactly sure how the ancient people ranked disabilities, but maybe there's something particular about blindness that has put him at particular risk, that has placed him at the bottom of the bottom. In any event, the crowd is beginning to move beyond him, and he has no blessing. This begging thing isn't working out for him. His golden opportunity is slipping away. What's he going to do? And in an act of desperation, he cries out to Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have you ever cried out to God for deliverance in your life? Have you cried out to God for help? Or for aid? Have you ever been in such a tough place that you had no choice but to reach out to God? Or what about other people? Have you ever had to cry out to another person for help or aid? Have you ever been in such a tough place that you had no choice but to reach out to someone, even if everything in your body and mind resisted doing so? They say that in foxholes, there's no atheists. When the bombs are falling around you, there is no pretense, no restriction on calling out to God. These are moments when we instinctively cry out to God for help. These are moments when we're forced to reach out beyond ourselves, out into that universe for help from somewhere, from some place. Maybe Bartimaeus was in a kind of foxhole in life. The bombs of poverty and isolation are dropping on him again and again, and he's finally pushed to the edge, and as a final act, as an act of desperation, he cries out to Jesus for help. Notice that Bartimaeus does not get much sympathy from the crowd. The crowd moving with Jesus on the roadside as well tells Bartimaeus to shut up. Many of the people, it says, scolded him and told him to be quiet. See, because people don't overall want to know your vulnerabilities, right? Can you keep your helplessness to yourself, please? Especially on the back end as we're leaving Jericho, as we're moving away, when we've exhausted our own natural generosity, we prefer not to know about other people's vulnerabilities. I think that's the kind of reaction that Bartimaeus got, and it's actually the kind of reaction that we're afraid of getting if we were to risk our helplessness with others. We reach out for help, but there isn't any. We cry out for love or friendship, but we reveal our helplessness to other people, but all we get is silence, or even worse, rebuke. And I think most people shut up in that moment. If I had dared to open my mouth and cried out along the street side, this kind of response would have caused me to slink off stage right and go hide in a corner. But good old Bartimaeus, he's persistent. Maybe he has no choice, though. Maybe he has no choice. That maybe is the reason why he simply ignores the rebuke of the crowd and keeps crying out to Jesus for help. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In the scriptures, it says he only did it twice, but I imagine it was almost a mantra for him. He kept saying it over and over again. This becomes a mantra, and it finally gets Jesus' attention. In all the craziness of the crowd wandering and moving through Jericho, he finally hears this voice breaking through, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he doesn't know where the voice is coming from, but he hears it. Persistence is one of the key markers to success in life. It's in almost every endeavor a key component of success. Perseverance, tenacity, doggedness. It's a critical component to success in life. Creativity, yes, persistence even more so. In fact, one of my music teachers told me it's 99% inspiration and 1%, sorry, it's 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. 99% perspiration, right. Persistence is even the key to success in our helplessness in life. Bartimaeus was persistent in his cry to Jesus for mercy, help, aid, assistance, and nothing will stop him from doing so. And I think he shows us our way forward. We are called by God to be persistent in our crying out for help to both to God and to other people. We need to be persistent in communicating our helplessness when we are helpless. And I know it goes against the common sense of the world. It goes against the pattern of our world today. But to sit calmly by instead of creating a disturbance when life is really hard serves only to deify our common sense. And it has nothing to do with God. How can people help if they don't know help is needed? And sometimes we get so caught up in our own lives that we don't even hear the subtle cries of others around us. It's our crying out to God that allows God to move in our lives. It's our crying out that gives God the signal to get moving. We're so stoic in our needs. We're so muted in our requests. We're so quiet in asking for help from God and from others that we actually constrict the movement of God in our lives. We shut down the Holy Spirit before she even gets a chance to get at work in us. We allow our past disappointments to shape what we think God can do today for us. And consequently, we don't ask for what we want. Especially, we do not ask for what we need. Instead, we think to ourselves, it's ridiculous of me to ask God to do this. And we end up sitting by the street as the crowd goes by, quietly. Bartimaeus is called up from the street to come before Jesus. It was up to you or me, would we go? Would you go up to see Jesus from the street side? Bartimaeus, he leaps up with joy. When Bartimaeus gets before Jesus, Jesus asks him one simple question. What do you want me to do for you today? Now, Bartimaeus could have asked for many things. He has many needs. His helplessness rests upon many challenges. Which one will it be that he shares with Jesus? If you were before Jesus today, and he asked you, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? What need inside of you would you reveal to him? Would you know what to ask for? Bartimaeus asks for the impossible. He goes to the source of his current helplessness in life and he says to Jesus, Teacher, I want to see again. Helplessness in life often sits upon an impossibility. Something like physical blindness. The true disturbances of our lives are things that are completely beyond our power to affect. If it's not impossible, then it's ultimately not a real disturbance because we have the power to change it. The promise given to us in this story today is that God will deal with the real issues of our lives, which are inevitably beyond our power to affect. And I think what we need to do is to learn how to ask with conviction, how to ask in an open and clear way, to learn how to reach out to God and to learn how to reach out to other people for help, to learn how to be persistent in sharing our helplessness in life with others so that the real issues of our lives can be addressed. And that's not easy to do. It's hard to be vulnerable in this kind of way with each other. It's taking a real risk. So here's what I'd like to propose as a congregational practice over the next couple of weeks. I would like you, and I'll include me in that, but I'd like you to reach out to someone in the congregation this week or maybe next week and ask for help with something that you can not do on your own. Ask for help with something that you can't do on your own. It can be a big thing or it can be a small thing. The size doesn't matter. I'd like you to reach out to someone you know, but that you've never asked for help from before. The goal is to learn how to take a risk with being a bit more vulnerable with each other. See, if we don't ask, we won't receive. Jesus teaches us that. If we only know to ask for small things, that's all we're likely to get. Bartimaeus, he went for it all. He went to the source of his helplessness, his blindness. He asked for a blessing upon his blindness. He asked to be released from his blindness. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus received his sight. Bartimaeus learned not only to trust the words of Jesus, he learned how to trust Jesus. Which is why Bartimaeus, after he was healed, followed Jesus along the way. See, it's not enough just to trust someone's words. We need to trust the person. It's not just enough to trust Jesus' words. We need to trust Jesus. And once we know Jesus is with us, the impossible things become natural as breathing to us, and we will no longer be shackled by the shallowness of our own ability to cry out to God. We'll be free. See, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God works in ways we cannot see. God will make a way for you and me. So let us learn as a church how to cry out to God in confidence, with the knowledge that in our cries comes our rescue.